Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. This is your host, Edison. We're here at SOB's. Chris Rivers is headlining tonight. We got Osmond Benjamin in the building. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere they got stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. And then also subscribe on YouTube. The button is somewhere. Yeah, you point that way, I point this way. Yeah, one of these corners got the button. Well, we're going to have to figure this out so that we only point in one direction. All right. So, right off the bat, I want to start off with your first debut album.
Yes.
All right. So, you've been making music for a while and launching a lot of singles on SoundCloud. You had a mixtape. What made you wait so long to put out an official album?
I don't like working on other people's time, bro. We in an interesting climate, bro, and they tell you that, yo, you got to hurry up and drop stuff because everybody else is dropping stuff. I never looked at it as I'm going to drop one thing and that's going to be it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm leaving breadcrumbs. I want my legacy to have a trail behind it. Like, yo, Oz been doing this for 11 years, and, yo, every time he drops something, it's amazing content. So I'm not about to rush my process for nobody, man. Like, because if you rush your process and you put some shit out that don't nobody like,
they stop coming.
It's on you. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, so that's what it is. Like, we dropped it when it was time. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm going to try to be more consistent, but I'm like that when it comes to my art, bro. It got to be as perfect as it can be at the time.
But at the same time, like personally, I feel like up-and-coming artists sometimes launch great music, but because it takes a while until like the real followers and stuff like that comes, if you do keep just creating and launching stuff, your projects get forgotten. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, there's something that really 2 years ago you might have dropped and it's still relevant today, but now people don't pay attention anymore because you keep putting out music. So what do you feel about like that pressure an artist gets? Because normally, the moment you launch a track, people listen to it and then already are like, when's the next one coming?
So, that pressure, that's something I used to feel before. And now it's just like, I get little glimpses of it, but then like I realize like, yo, it really only take one person for real to really hear your joint and it's over. Like the City Girls, that ACT UP song was out, what, 6 months before everybody found out? You know what I'm saying? Like Bryson Tiller album was out for 2 years before it started really moving like that. You know what I'm saying? Like LMA, Boot Up, it was out for a year. So it's just like, yo, I'm not, when it's time for people to find the music, they will. So ain't no pressure now, man. Like I'm not gonna take forever.
Right.
I'm not gonna detox and shit, but you know what I'm saying? Like I'm a put out more music, but it's not until it feel right to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you had previously, earlier in your career, you basically took a leap of faith for your musical career, quit your day job without really a plan. You've said in your lyrics that you wouldn't be an artist if it wasn't for the struggle. So tell me about like that time period and, you know, just taking that leap of like, now I don't have a steady income and I have to figure it out, because without an income, clearly you don't have studio time, you don't have tracks, you don't have, you know, nothing that you need as essentially for an artist. So tell me about like during that time period and how you managed to push yourself even harder to make a career out of yourself so you don't have to go back to work. And just keep the mic like a little bit away when you talk.
I didn't quit, I got fired. That was the first thing. You know what I mean? And at that time, bro, I was fortunate that I was around people that believed in me enough that I didn't have to pay for studio time. You know what I mean? Like, when I was working, like, I don't know, man. Like, God really messed with me. Like, that's really my nigga. So I've been in certain situations where things just happen to move around so that I could create the art that I wanted, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I was living in Newburgh upstate, I worked at a spot called All Saints. And my managers, they would close the break room so that I could go in there and record music, send everybody to the food court so I could get music done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my best friend, his name was Tyler Busher. Like, he was a producer and he had all the equipment needed to record songs. So even if they wasn't the best quality, I was around it. You know what I mean? So I was fortunate that the people that were around at the time, they loved the music as much as I did, and they believed in me enough to know that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need bread right now. Just you keep doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? So that's how I maneuvered. You know what I mean? And with unemployment coming in, we would use that money to pay for whatever slots we had to get on for shows and shit like that. But it was a interesting time.
Yeah.
Interesting time.
Would you say that time and that struggle has, you know, built your, like, has helped you build your music even better? Because, you know, a lot of times the artists, they lean on the struggle that they've been through for their music. And that usually makes you come out with even more heartfelt and kind of music that connects to the people. Yesterday, I just saw your performance yesterday at Rough Trade, and you have that song for mainly for creatives. You give a little speech right before that, and you know, when you're listening to the song, even, you know, coming from someone like me who does a podcast, you still go through the same type of struggles. So tell me about, like, you know, how you bring that out in your music, your struggles, your early struggles as an artist before you can get on these shows where you have to pay for it. How did that help you build your music?
Let me hear the question one more time.
The question was, I forgot the question, bro, because I'm like great on the moment. No, I'm fine. No, I'm talking about, like, your early struggles. How does, since artists use their early struggles to kind of bring out more heartfelt music, how do you use that in your music? We were just talking about the song for the creative, No Pressure, I think it's called. That really, you know, if you're a creative in any field, you can listen to that song. It could help you pass that roadblock that you're feeling. So tell me about, like, how your struggles have helped you portray that in your music.
Struggle, it's tricky. It's real tricky, bro, because people will get so caught up in talking about struggle that when they get to a spot where they're not struggling no more, they revert back to that because that's what got them the fans in the first place. Me, it wasn't difficult for me to talk about struggle because that's where I was. You know what I mean? So I was just like, yo, I don't ever want to fake the funk when I'm on stage. I don't want to fake the funk while I'm recording. So I literally just documented what was going on around me at the time. Where it gets tricky is when you're in a better place, being able to let people know you're in a good place too. You know what I mean? I think that was, since you're talking about struggle, that's been the biggest struggle for me. How do I make, not happy music, but let people know I'm not too far from the place I was in, but I'm definitely not there anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's been the biggest struggle. But as far as putting the struggle in the music, that's not difficult. If you really being true to yourself and talking about literally what's around you, what you're going through, songs like that write themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's been the case for the last couple of years.
So you were just mentioning how God has been messing with you and giving you a lot of up and downs. So your first appearance on Sway came basically after one of your biggest shows got canceled.
Yeah.
So tell me about, like, that time, you know, because now you're preparing for the biggest show of your career and all of a sudden it just gets canceled. So that high, you know, when you're feeling, you're seeing yourself, like, where you're going to be, and when it gets, you know, kind of just hit, you hit the roadblock and now you're back to where you started. How do you deal with that? And then what, like a week later, you're on Sway?
I'm going to be honest with you, bro. That's the most peace I've ever felt in my life at that moment, bro.
When the show got canceled?
Yes. Because it was for Lil Boosie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we was going to drive to wherever he was at and open for Lil Boosie.
Yeah.
And I was just like, at the time, like, I didn't have songs for that crowd. I was like, it'll be a good look, something put on the resume, but... Yo, I didn't know what I was going to perform. I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, my mans had just got the dude that was driving us, shout out to Spence Trotman. He was driving down there, just got a job at the time. Nigga ended up canceling, calling out of work as soon as he got the job, to drive over there.
Yeah.
So he was about to lose his job and all of that. Then it got canceled, and I was just like, I remember telling my boy Tyler, he was tight. He was pissed, like, yo, like, what you mean? I was like, yo, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like something crazy is about to happen. I remember telling him that. I was like, I feel like something crazy is about to happen, bro. Don't even stress. I don't know why I feel wild peace right now. Something crazy about to happen. And I think it was either the next day or the next 2 days. It was the day we were supposed to drive out there is when I got a call from Rich Nice. And he was just like, yo, what you doing? I think it was like tomorrow. What you doing tomorrow? I was just like, nigga, what time? He was like, yo, you think you come to Sway? I was like, what time? He was like, 9. I was like, dog, I'll be there 8:48. Nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be there early. And I was like, yo, just imagine if we went on the road, bro. Yeah. Missed this whole opportunity, my G. So,
and then luckily you didn't miss it, because since then your link up with, you know, I mean, Sway has put you on the show a couple times, and he's brought you on at Soundset last year in front of like 30,000-40,000 people. So tell me about that link up, and you know, with Sway, you and Rod have both been on Sway, and how, you know, he's helped with your career.
Sway is the big homie. Shout out to Sway. Shout out to Kelly Jackson. Kelly is really she the mastermind behind everything. You know what I mean? Like, after the first time I was on Sway, she was the one that reached out, set up the Doomsday Cypher after that. That's it. That was 2015. And then 2016, they looked out for the BET Cypher. And they just been like, all these opportunities, like, Kelly and Sway both. They just been looking out. They really believe in what I have, man. They believe in a gift, and they've been really instrumental over the past couple years. Not instrumental, vocal. They've been really vocal in my career over the past couple years, and it's been dope. That sound set shit was crazy. I never seen that many people in front of me at one time. And
how do you deal with just with stepping out in front of all? I mean, you know, that was the main stage, and I saw the clips, and I was there last year. That's where we met. So that crowd is unbelievable. And you went and you killed it from the videos that I saw. Yeah. So how did you kind of, because I'm sure you were nervous the moment you stepped out there.
Bro, I found out the real story after I was already off stage. So I think Pusha T was late. So Sway threw me on there for crowd control.
Okay.
Like, yo, all right, let's throw eyes on here until Pusha T get here. So before I went, I didn't hear it. I was like, Sway need you on the main stage right now. So I'm just like, oh, shit. All right, let me get verses ready. So I'm thinking of what verse I'm going to do. And, you know, I rapped the verse. Everybody was fucking with it. And when I seen all of them people rocking with me off of an acapella, I was just like, oh, shit. So I had my one verse. I was just like, bet, yeah, body this shit, I'm ready to go. So he was just like, everybody got one good verse. Do we got two? I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got two verses. You know what I mean? Ended up rapping the second verse. Humble came on, because that's the song that was popping at the time. Humble came on, and the beat dropped. And I was just like, yo, it was like a split second. I was like, yo, I can either speed this verse up or slow it down to match the tempo of the shit. I made an executive decision to speed the verse up, and everybody started going crazy. And I was just like, yo, yeah. I was just like, oh, this is crazy. I was like, let me get out of here before I fuck this up. But I looked, I'm just like, yeah. I was like, yo, everybody was really fucking with jumping up and down. Niggas was throwing beach balls in the crowd and all that. And I got off stage and was just like, yo. So he was like, yo, bro, that was different. And then after that, somebody had texted me. She was like, yo, it's crazy that you did that and nobody wanted to see you. Nobody was fucking with you. They was on something like, we want Pusher, we want Pusher. But I didn't hear that on the way over there. So I was just like, yo, I dead went in there for crowd control, bro. And I had no clue. And there was, I wish I still had the vid. There was somebody in the crowd when Sway was just like, yeah, you know, Osmond Benjamin about to come on stage. It was one dude. He was like, who the fuck is Osmond Benjamin? And we don't give a fuck. We want Pusha T. I was just like, oh, shit. I think if I would have heard that, it would have affected my performance a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Hearing that from 30,000 people, yeah, it'll fuck me up. But yeah, that's the, a little bit.
So going from there, Styles P said that you are the artist of the future. All right. And he's clapping in the background, Chris Rivers. Yeah, you know, you're lucky he wasn't here the whole time interrupting, you know.
That would have been
so tell me, when a legendary lyricist, a legendary hip hop artist who many people have on their on these top 50 lists that are going around, when someone like that says that about you, like, what sort of feelings are you getting? Do you kind of do you feel like, oh, I'm doing it, or does it push you to kind of like try even harder and live up to those words?
It's a mix of things, man, because it's like, it's very hard in moments like that to remember that, yo, exactly what you do is what got you to where you are. So you don't have to be anything more or less than exactly who you are. But you hear things like that, and you know what I mean? Like, and there's times still, like, I will feel that pressure to, yo, Styles gonna hear this, or, yo, Clark Kent is gonna hear this, or Royce is gonna hear, you know what I mean? Like, Lupe might hear this. And then, like, it definitely, that's in the back of my mind as I create, but not so much to the point where I step out of who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, they mess with me for being who I am and making the music that I make. So I don't never have to be anything but me to get that look from the higher ups, which is dope to me. Like, if this was all a gimmick, like if Chris Rivers wrote all of my raps and those were the ones that everybody loved, I'd have a problem. You know what I mean? But it's just like, yo, these legends or whatever the case is, they mess with me for being exactly who I am, bro. And I think that's the dopest part of this whole thing.
Right.
You know what I
mean? So you, when you started out in music in general, you started out with gospel. When did you transition to hip hop, and how does that gospel still stay in your music?
So the gospel thing, man, I thought I was gonna be the next Kirk Franklin, bro. You can't tell me that. Yo, I didn't see myself rapping, bro. I'm gonna be honest. Hell no. This wasn't a thing. I was gonna sing slow gospel ballads for my whole life. And then, you know, after you get older, you know, you kind of figure out who God is for yourself. And it's like, yo, it's a lot of things I learned. I started living a lot of life, and I started experiencing things for myself outside of what was told for me or told to me for all those years. So after being able to apply what I've learned and what's happened to me, you know what I mean? Like, you still hear not elements of gospel. I'm a flawed man looking for my way, bro. I believe in God, and you're always going to hear that in the music. But it's not is he solely gospel or solely hip hop? Like, nah, bro, I'm a guy that's trying to figure it out. And anytime, you know what I'm saying, I feel like I got a responsibility. So if I could point people to whatever direction I feel like is the right way, that's my responsibility. So I'm gonna do that. You know what I mean? But at the end of it, I'm a human being. It's not a gospel box or a hip hop box. I'm just a human being trying to figure this whole shit out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How you like that, Chris Rivers? Yo, you didn't even hear. You didn't even hear.
Yeah, I'm doing my own thing. So tell me, like, in a time like today, when basically a lot of artists sound like each other, a lot of people kind of bite off each other's sound, how do you stay original? You know, a lot of your music, you don't hear that in many artists. You don't hear the vocals and with the lyrics and, you know, going back to the hooks and et cetera.
Yeah.
So how do you stay original? Is it just something that you're kind of, is it with the people that you work with, or is it just the way that you've built your sound that's just original to you?
I think even that phrase, like how do you stay original? It's like, I never heard a word like that. Like, nah, you just do what feels right to you. And it's cool, because I understand where people live in this genre. You know what I mean? Like, huge Black Star fan, but I'm not gonna go to a club to hear Black Star. You know what I'm saying? Like, people exist in different dimensions in this culture for a reason. So I'm not tripping on what everybody else is doing,
because
I know what I'm doing. I know where my place is. I know where I'm at with everything.
Yeah.
So I'm all right with it, man. Like, I'm not the whole being original thing. That happens when you in tune with what's going on with you.
Right.
I don't gotta try to be original. Like,
that's just who you're.
I'm telling my story. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bitch.
So, like everybody else asked, and like we were talking about earlier, what is next?
Next. It's a lot of pressure over there. I got I made a debut in a movie that's coming in 2020. Shout out to Rada Blank and Lena Waithe. I was a producer in the film. It was
a lead role.
Oh my God.
A lead.
Yeah.
Oh, if I knew, I would have brought something to sign, or something, you know, you want to sign like my shirt or something. Lead role actor. He was talking about keys earlier, producing. You know, Osmond Benjamin is a full package.
I am not a producer, for the record, but I will be. So yeah, that's happening 2020. Tours, we setting that up. You know what I mean? New music, more music, merch, just dope content. I'm looking at this past year and everything I didn't do, and I'm gonna do that in 2020. You know what I mean? All this shit I didn't do.
Alright, so just before we end the interview, you mentioned Clark Kent earlier. Yes. And that's someone that kind of, he said that when he looks at you, the same feelings he had for Jay-Z back in the day, he has when he looks at you. So how do you take something a compliment like that in from, you know, you're talking about Jay-Z. I don't have to say more. How do you let that not really go in over your head and all that?
Got Avery in the building.
Wow. Yo, I'm glad you're here, my G. So, by the way, Rod.
Hey, Avery in the building.
Rod, the producer's here, and Avery's here. Both of them just pulled up at the same time. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yo, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, hearing something like that. Humbling. At that time, like, hearing that from Clark, bro, like, he was right with Hov throughout our favorite periods of music.
Yeah.
So to hear something like that, it was,
that was
my body went in shock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I caught a mini seizure. And then I came back. When I came back, all the colors in the room was gray. Yeah, when I came back from the seizure, everything was gray.
Yeah.
And then, but that was one of the illest things I could have heard. And for an artist who suffers with, you know, self-esteem and wondering if he's enough and stuff like that, to hear that, it was the confirmation I needed to let me know that I was on the right track.
Right.
You know what I mean? So one of the illest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. So last but not least, everybody make sure to follow check out Alzwin Benjamin. Follow him on all platforms. You can hear his music everywhere. Just Google him and you'll find his music. And his dance moves, we'll try to edit those out for your pleasure. but tell everybody, you know, where to check you out, where to check out your music, and when they can come see you live next.
Got you. You can check out everything at Alzwin Benjamin, OSWINBENJAMIN, on MySpace, Napster, Black Planet, Black People Meet, you know what I'm saying? Christian Mingle, Oswin Benjamin on everything, you know what I'm saying? Word. And next, as soon as I know, I'll let y'all know. You dig?
All right, give me the mic back. Let's face the camera to the important person of the show. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, Stitcher, and all podcast apps. And tell your friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
No, don't need no chauffeur. Handle on the drive. I Kyrie the notion. I don't need your 2 cents. Keep that in your loafers. Turn potter in the milk. The bed to a sofa. Syrup with the Wonder Bread. A praying to Jehovah. Water with the lemon drops. Held a nigga over. Wet dreaming of being in church. I daydreaming of being older. Watching Arnold Jerry. Then old God before the focus. Before life approached us, niggas had to glow in a world full of shoulders. Divinely selected, unaware I'm chosen. Delayed by my collarbone, weight on my shoulder. Baptizing creatine, I wade in the water.